It's Bucky and Aaron.
It's called a black racer. Look it up, BK. See if it's one of the fastest snakes, maybe one of the fastest snakes in the world. But it got to me. I was in fifth grade, and I had a good knee
black
then.
Black racer?
And I had a good knee.
Sure this wasn't a dream
going.
Of yours?
No, this is the real deal. What are you looking at?
Racers are fast snakes, but they can still only crawl at about 4 miles per hour. How slow are you biking?
I was in fifth grade.
What are you, Alex Loeb? Don't know how to ride a bike.
No!
Pedal, man!
They will give me the fastest snake in the world, then. The Ball Dad coached up that snake.
LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball coached him up.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike.
Well, that's another bad song.
Yeah, coming up next week, Buck and I just decided we're going to have a show where we debate the worst all-time songs by great artists.
Just the worst.
Because you were walking around here singing Abra, Abracadabra.
I want to reach out and grab her.
I think grab ya.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not. I'm going to reach out and grab your.
I hated
grabber.
That song. I love the Steve Miller Band, and that song came out. I was like, ugh. Abracadabra. It had all the organs and synthesizers in it. I was like, nah.
Mine's Paul McCartney and the Long and Winding Road. I'm like, oh, really?
And there's the great Queen, and Bicycle's not the
best. That's not
their best.
It's a horrible song,
isn't it?
It's
not their best.
No, it's not their best.
But it's kind of
accept that.
Still pretty damn catchy, you know?
It is.
But so we'll do that next week. We'll have some fun with it, for sure. This is Kokomo. Horrible. Well, this might already start up
see,
this morning.
Of course it's going to start.
No,
it's Friday. It's perfect. It's a Friday.
Listen, you know how this works.
Stupid draft. Nothing happened.
What do you mean
nothing happened last night?
Are you kidding me?
Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. Damn Celtics. Why am I wanting the Celtics to be good anyway? What am I doing to myself?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you mine. I want more contenders. I want teams to be able to, that I can at least consider that could do something to dethrone Cleveland in the East and do something about Golden State.
Celtics didn't do anything to help themselves last night.
And the Celtics are the team that's primed with all the assets, and yet they continue to
next year
talk about the future and the process and long term instead of adding superstars to their roster. Danny Ainge unwilling to part with his young and young assets and draft picks to go get star players put you over the top in the NBA.
Yes.
Which is what they don't have. Isaiah Thomas is a really, really, really great player.
Mm-hmm.
But is he a superstar?
No, because he can't do it by himself. He can't. Yeah. He can't hope of his part of the bar. He's too little.
Right, and you can eliminate him with a great defender. You can't eliminate LeBron or Durant or Steph Curry or these guys with great defenders because they're great superstar players. And that's what elevates, and that's where the NBA is right now. And it's probably a lot of hollow rhetoric because I said this yesterday, and I don't think I said it as clearly in my own mind to where the state of the NBA is right now. We said it yesterday that you grew up rooting for the 76ers.
Yes, I'm so disappointed.
And I said, can you imagine if the 76ers in the middle 80s when they were trying to beat the Celtics and Larry Legend and company, that in the middle of that, if Dr. J had signed on with the Celtics? And how that would so have tipped everything. It would have completely, because what did you have? You had teams fighting to get out of the East, and everyone knew Boston was the favorite, much like everyone knows Cleveland is the favorite, but you had teams like the 76ers and the Knicks that were putting together great rosters and trying to go beat them. But
Even the Bullets at that time.
But Dr. J would have never gone to the Celtics.
He would never do that in his career.
It would have been ripped up and down. Imagine in the early 90s if Michael Jordan had somehow, as a free agent, joined the Detroit Pistons. Instead of trying to beat the Detroit Pistons in the nine. How would that have... Because then this is what has happened. This is why Kevin Durant, whatever you think of his decision to join the best team in the league already, it has so skewed the league that... Go back to the 80s. Everybody's into this Lakers-Celtics 30 for 30 that's out on ESPN, which is so terrific.
That is awesome.
Well, you know what? If Dr. J goes to the Celtics, it tips that thing to where it doesn't even matter. Celtics would have beaten the Lakers every time. And the Lakers were a great team. And that's what happens when a all-time superstar joins an all-time great team. It's never happened before in the NBA, and it's tipped it to where everything else is just irrelevant to that decision. I'm glad Kevin Durant is happy, but that's the seismic shift it's created for the league.
Certainly has.
And it would be similar as a young Michael Jordan joining the Pistons instead of trying to build a team to beat them, or Dr. J joining the Celtics in the heyday. That would have never happened.
First of all, individuals would never do it.
Right.
They would say, I'm not your buddy. I'm not coming here. I'll find people around me to beat you. Yes. I don't want to join you, cupcake.
Hey, let's
get that snake repellent ready for that camp coming up. I might pay for a kid's camp tuition if he goes in like a cupcake outfit. I might pay for him
to go. Just walks in on first day.
Oh, could you imagine?
Hey, and again, we're in Austin, so it's hard to criticize Kevin Durant. He made a decision that was best for his life, and that's a good thing. He balled out like crazy this year.
He did.
It was unbelievable. But at the same time, it's completely thrown the balance of power, and it's just tipped the axis. It's like, what do you do? And everyone's kind of flailing
underneath.
It's
made everybody interested in the NBA. When the season was just, you knew what it was going to be like. Now everybody's interested.
But they have to try to build a super team, which is almost impossible to build a team right now with salary cap restrictions and how, because that team was already great. That was like a Celtics team of the 80s, the Lakers of the 80s, and they added an all-time great player to an already great team.
But what Danny Ainge did last night when he had the opportunity to get Jimmy Butler, still, even at this late stage last night, he had a chance to get that dude because Minnesota didn't give up anything for him.
All right, let's...
he just wanted to go play for Tom Thibodeau, you know? Unless that was part of the work, see?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. But the Celtics, by all accounts, we told you yesterday before the draft, there was a report that the Bulls wanted the third pick overall straight up for Butler, and they wouldn't do that. They wanted to take the kid out of Duke, I guess. But that's the conversation with that's going on in Boston right now is Danny Ainge going forward. Is he being way too patient and way too tight with his young assets? All right, let's get your headlines quickly. We'll dive into the Coach's Corner. We will. We got to get our coach's corner. Dr. Wayne Miller, our doctor of barbecue, will be on to give us our barbecue summer tip of the week.
Yeah.
Which we'll get in our coach's corner. Wayne Miller from Louis Miller's Barbecue in Taylor. Quick tip on, I think he's going to tell you about trimming a brisket and why that's so important if you're making your own brisket. He's going to give you the tip so you can do it perfectly for your 4th of July brisket or any brisket through the summer. Let's get your headlines. Ticket City Update Desk we go. Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services. We will start with that NBA draft, and as expected, the Philadelphia 76ers took Washington point guard Markelle Fultz with the first pick. Lakers followed by taking the big baller brand. UCLA's Lonzo Ball goes number 2 overall. Pac-12 point guards go 1-2. That began a run of 7 straight freshmen drafted last night, one and doneers. Celtics took Duke's Jason Tatum at number 3. Suns took Josh Jackson from Kansas. Sacramento took Kentucky guard and Houston area product De'Aaron Fox with the 5th overall pick. 9 of the top 10 selections played just one season of college ball, and that includes the Mavericks pick at number 9, NC State point guard Dennis Smith Jr. They took him with pick 9. Spurs own the 29th pick in the first round for the second straight year, and for the second straight year they took a point guard. NAB Colorado senior point guard Derek White with that 29th pick. Last year, of course, they took DeJounte Murray in the same spot. Brooklyn Nets had the 22nd selection last night.
And with the 22nd pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Brooklyn Nets select Jared Allen from the University of Texas.
That's right. Jared Allen won and done at Texas and now goes to the team with the worst record in the league a year ago. But Jared Allen humbled to be drafted in the NBA.
I mean, I think for anybody, it's an anxious time, even for me, you know, going this far in the draft. But, I mean, it's a humbling experience to finally get picked by a team.
The only blockbuster move of the night came when the Chicago Bulls traded their all-star Jimmy Butler and the 16th pick to Minnesota for high flyer Zach LaVine, point guard Chris Dunn, and the number 7 pick, which then became Arizona sharpshooter Lauri Markkanen. But Jimmy Butler joining Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns, and company in Minnesota. To baseball, Carlos Gomez homering twice, drove in 5. Rangers beat up on the Blue Jays yesterday 11-4. They split that 4-game series with their rivals. They're back to 500 at 36-36. Rangers will now play 20 of their next 26 games on the road. That starts tonight with 3 in the Bronx against Bucky's Yankees. Aaron Judge and company. Houston Astros, meanwhile, 13-50 wins in the MLB. They finished off a 4-game sweep of Oakland yesterday with a 12-9 win. They improved to 50-24. Josh Reddick had 3 hits, scored 4 times. Houston now heads to Seattle for a weekend series with the Mariners. Round Rock opened their weekend set with Iowa with a 4-1 win. Will Middlebrooks hit a pair of home runs, drove in 3 there. Same 2 tonight on a Bud Light Fireworks Friday at Dell Diamond. Should be a great one. Great time to be out there tonight. College World Series in Omaha. TCU Horned Frogs stave off elimination for the second time in Omaha. They did it last night with a 4-3 nail-biting win over Louisville. They advance to the Final Four and eliminate the Cardinals. They will face unbeaten Florida in a semifinal game tonight, 7 o'clock. Frogs must beat the Gators twice to reach the championship series next week. In the NFL, Oakland Raiders quarterback, to-be Las Vegas Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr, finalized a new 5-year contract extension that is the richest contract ever for a player, $25 million. Per year over 5 years, just edges out the deal that Andrew Luck got from the Colts just a year ago. And in golf, Jordan Spieth, first round 63 yesterday at TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut. He's your leader after one round of the PGA Travelers Championship. First time he'd ever played that course. In competition, 8 birdies, 1 bogey, finished 7 under. And that's the news.
It's a hell of a round. Eight birdies.
Yeah, Jordan. Remember, Jordan played Sunday at the U.S. Open. He was never really a factor at the U.S. Open, but Jordan played that Sunday round in the highest of the winds in the morning and actually had a heck of a round. If you watch that round, because it was on starting at 10 o'clock on Fox over the weekend, Jordan Spieth battled through the wind and actually had one of the lower scores of the real windy part of the day. And I think he built on that. I think he left the green with a lot of confidence, and he took it to Connecticut, and he was dialed in yesterday. He looked like the old Jordan Spieth. I mean, he was great off the tee. He was
putting the ball well.
Putting, and he was just throwing darts with his second shots. I mean, he was really good yesterday. All right, quick, how about this, BK, as we talk about this draft pick. Fran Fraschilla tweeted this about your pick for the Mavericks. Dennis Smith Jr. says is a steal at 9. He says, at first, Steph Curry at elite basketball camps with Foles, Ferguson, and others, he was the alpha dog. So this is a kid who, you know, among his peers, I mean, all these point guards are the same age, right? That when they were playing AAU ball and coming through at these camps, that it was Dennis Smith Jr. that was really the alpha. He got hurt at NC State, or right before it, and was coming off injury for his 1 year there. But this could be a dynamic pick.
Well, he looks that way when he plays on the court. I mean, he's a guy who's not afraid to penetrate and go in there with the big guys. I just worry about now is the time to work. You know, we find out when guys leave college, all of a sudden they work on their game because that's all they have to do is work on their game and make money, and they become better shooters. If he becomes a really pretty solid shooter when he's wide open and jumpers, I think he'll be a special player for the Mavs. That'll be great.
Get that jump shot going. He can be – because you can't stay in front of him. He's so athletic. He's got a Derrick Rose type ability to get to the 10.
Yes.
And, he'll remind you watching him play of a Steve Francis in his prime.
Stevie Franchise,
who someone texts is now a crackhead. I don't know if he's a crackhead.
Ooh,
is that where Dennis Smith is going in a couple years? That's not good.
You know, Stevie kind of glossed himself the franchise and kind of got in his own brand, got in his own way. Hey, let's dive into the Coach's Corner at 7:15.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, so draft is in. We'll pick it up on the other side. Here's a guy that says, guys, took you a year to admit that the Durant thing to Golden State was awful. I don't know that it took us a year. I've been saying that. I'm not going to criticize Kevin Durant for his decision because it's his call, but I said it in the real time. It was bad for the league. It's absolutely bad for the league. It made the league less interesting, and the only question last year when it happened was, would the chemistry work? You know, would these guys all get along? We've seen super teams not be able to function with the chemistry. But everyone understood that if they get along and they play,
it would be a problem for the rest of the NBA.
It's going to be impossible for the rest of the league, and that came to fruition. And so, yeah, no, it's bad for the league. I don't think there's any doubt, in my opinion.
But I like the fact that now the league's got to wake up. Let's go. Let's go beat them. What are we going to do now?
Well,
can't sit back.
Well, what if Dr. J had joined the Celtics? You're nothing you're doing to beat that team. What are you going to do?
Make another super team.
Okay, but again, then now you play with a salary cap. You can't just go out and grab guys. You have to acquire them. Or you have to sign them, and you have to fit them under a salary cap. As I said, if Michael Jordan had joined the Bad Boy Pistons, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm just saying, teams like the Celtics that had an opportunity to do that because Jimmy Butler is one of those guys. Why are you going in the other direction? I think that's silly.
That's my criticism of Danny Ainge. I think Jimmy Butler is a top 10 to 15 player in the league. And I think he's getting better at 27 years old, and he plays both ends.
But once again, we're looking towards – it's not just a one-year thing. I mean, as BK said, he's getting these first-round draft choices all piled up for something. LeBron may not be in Cleveland. They're right there as the number one seed last year. So what do they have to do? I guess it is about beating the Cavs for one thing first for the Celtics, and then it's about trying to get into the championship game with Golden State. But it's not a one-year deal. This is for the future. But they keep saying it's the future. They've been doing this for – Since the guy has come here, it's 5 or 6 years they've been talking about this.
To Boston, they did make their pitch to Kevin Durant last year. And if Kevin Durant had landed in Boston, that would have been a compelling storyline because then there would have been another heavyweight team. If you wanted out of Oak City, Boston would have been a cool landing place for the league.
He just flipped the balance of everything.
Easy enough for KD. He wanted something easier than that.
Yeah, cupcake. Hey, let's go to the Bob's Steak and Chop House hotline quickly. We told you throughout the summer we're going to talk to our friend Wayne Miller, the pit master out there at Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, one of the, if not the best smoke barbecue spot you'll find in all of Texas, in our opinion, or my opinion, and he's the pit master, and he's willing to come on with us each week or whenever he can and give us tips for your perfect barbecues for the holiday or for the weekend, for the summer, for the 4th of July. Wayne, how you doing, man?
Good morning. How's everyone today?
Doing great.
Doing great, pit boss, pit master. What's the latest out there? You know, we're 6 days to Bucky's birthday. Are you going to cook us up some vittles and bring it on in next Thursday?
I've already been working on it. Bucky, I got you some pork loin. I'm ready to bring you some sweet loving for you.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Pork loin, yes. My favorite.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We've got some pork loin. We've got the traditionals, brisket, sausage, spare ribs, beef ribs. I'm even considering bringing out some lamb chops.
Ooh.
Lamb chops?
Oh,
that's a birthday surprise right there, some lamb chops. Wayne, let me ask you this. For your brisket, you know, you talked last week about, you know, how important it is to get that pepper, you know, that pepper around the edges. Now, I had some brisket this week. I was on my way out to Marble Falls. I don't want to mention the place. But the edges were rough. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know.
Chewy?
Well, it wasn't even chewy. It was hard. It wasn't like melting your mouth. It was almost like sometimes you get that hard bread and you want to take the inside out of it and throw the edges away. You shouldn't want to do that to your brisket, should you?
I don't, but I know some people, I know some people prefer to have some crunchiness on their bark. Personally, I think that's a little bit too much.
But okay.
I think bark creation is something that's important. It's an important aspect of what a brisket is.
Okay. Hey, Wayne, now Wayne has sent along that we're going to put up on our website, Brisket Trimming 101 that you have put together. And I know a lot of our listeners like to get out their smokers and try to make a brisket for the 4th of July weekend or whatever it might be. I'm going to put this up so folks can go read it and we'll make it available. And thanks for doing that. Give us the cliff notes of that when it's time to make a great brisket.
Sure. Part of Texas brisket, it really is about the bark, and it's central Texas brisket. So we at Louis Miller, we take particular pride in our bark. It's heavily peppered, but it has a purpose. The pepper isn't overbearing, but all of that pepper really acts to do a couple of things. One, it retains moisture. It acts as a shell once it's solidified. And it also, not only does it retain moisture, but it retains flavor, and it gives a certain flavor profile that is uniquely us.
Uniquely
Louis Miller, yeah. It's sort of like, you know, pepper acts is sort of an aggregate, like gravel. When you make concrete,
it's what
holds all of the rendered fat together. So when it caramelizes, it has something to stick to, and that pepper really holds it all together.
Okay, well, and as you say in this brisket trimming 101, why is it important to someone trying to do it at home, the do-it-yourselfers, to trim a brisket properly, and what does that mean?
Well, we're trimming brisket. We're really just trimming fat, and we're trying to create a shape. For us particularly, it has a lot to do with aerodynamics. We want to increase our airflow over the briskets. We want to have an even temperature distribution. We want to make sure that we don't accumulate too much fat in drippings, because that's a risk of excess fire. So yeah, we're trying to streamline our briskets and make them safer, make them more of a homogeneous product, so that the end product is more consistent.
Nice.
Sounds like an ambassador meat like that.
He's the
right
ambassador
there.
To smoked meats, our man Wayne Miller.
Really?
Been joining us on Fridays for our Coach's Corner tip of the weekend. So if you're going to smoke some brisket, we are going to put this up, courtesy of Wayne and Louis Miller's Barbecue, Brisket Trimming 101. You'll be able to go put it up as a PDF on our website as soon as I get the web people in here. And you can go download that, and good luck with it. Hey, Wayne, we're looking forward to seeing you next Thursday, when you roll in here for Bucky's birthday. It'll be a heck of a lot of fun. We'll feast on some Louis Miller barbecue, the signature flavors, and then we'll have some listeners in here, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
That is awesome. Now I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how do I get $125 million for messing around with pigskin?
See, that's right.
That's right. You want to get one of those new contracts. It'll be the richest contract in barbecue history.
by far.
Hey, even better than that, you want that same one that the guy with the tequila had, $1 billion.
George Clooney.
George what? Clooney. That's what you need.
Yeah. $700 million up front with $300 million potential.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. Yeah. Hey, Wayne, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, Wayne. Wayne Miller, Louis Miller's Barbecue. He's our pit master, and he's the pit master there at Louis Miller Barbecue. Third generation doing the smoked meat.
It's so funny listening to him because now I think of all the guys with their big green egg in the back and telling me how they're doing this brisket up so right. Talking about a bunch of butchers.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really, oh, my goodness.
Hey, so again, I'm going to put that up at our website. And if you want it right now, shoot me an email. I'll forward it to you. But we'll put it up so you can get to it. It really is. It's a 2-page document, Buck. Three, four. Brisket trimming 101. It's like going to school. Because I know a lot of the folks out there love to smoke the briskets and, you know, take their time and you know, go all night.
Well, you want to do it right. I mean, it's just like me with my fish. I want to, when I cook fish, I want my fish to be just right.
Perfect.
Nothing off either way.
Well, Wayno told us last week the tip was be patient. You know, it takes time. It's not something you just, if you want to great, you want to do it right, and you can, he said, you can put it on the flame and
it's like that with a woman, BK. I want you to know that. That's how it is with a woman. I want you to
be patient.
Be patient. Take your time like the young bull.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like the old bull. Don't go running down there from the top of the hill like the young bull and just after one. Be patient like the old bull and get them all. You know what I'm saying?
How long am I supposed to wait, man?
See, there it is. That's a problem. That's a problem.
That's why he wants fast food. That's why he wants four televisions.
Yeah.
He's got to have his immediate gratification.
I need it now, man.
You need it right now, right?
I need it now.
Okay.
All right. So we will hit that. Bucky's tip, be patient.
Be patient.
With the ladies. Wayne Miller's tip with your smoked meats, be patient.
Be patient.
Take your time. Let it smoke.
Let it simmer.
Let it get after it. All right, we will pick it up on the other side. There's Wayne Miller with your tip. We'll also dive back into the NBA's draft. And guys got a great question on the Spectre text line concerning the Dallas Cowboys. Our friend Ari Temkin is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We talked to him before the draft. Now we'll talk to him after the draft pick last night. And are they going to trade LaMarcus Aldridge to the Cleveland Cavaliers? We'll get you details on that coming up. BK will lead us through Hot or Not. It's a fun Friday here on the Horn. Show the people. Glad you're with us. 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Beginning on a Friday, getting you into your weekend. It's going to be a hot one, to say the least. 102 says here the top out temperature today on what I've been told is National Hydration Day. I want to follow suit on National Hydration Day. But by the way, the temperature is going to drop 10 degrees into Saturday because be some clouds and not as warm. Be only 92 with a chance of rain on Saturday. So deal with 102 and muggy today. And at least you're not in Phoenix. I was reading this story. We keep telling you about how hot it's been in the desert. It's the desert.
Yes.
But the heat wave, it was 119 degrees yesterday in Phoenix. And the Arizona Burn Center are getting a bunch of people that are coming in that are burning themselves on hot car.
Oh, rubbing up against stuff.
Just putting their hands on something that's been sitting in that sun. People walking out in their bare feet. They had a kid that came to the burn center who had, was trying to crawl through a doggy door onto hot pavement.
And his hands?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, high degree burns. Because it's
been like Ralphie putting his tongue on a frozen pole? Can't do that.
Well, the kid's trying to get out of the house. Was he locked in the house? He's crawling through a doggy door.
Good grief.
Hey, Mom, let him out.
I got to find out from BK. BK, what is the movie that you're watching this week? I know you've been watching movies and you're sick, so perfect time unless you're just flat out sleeping. What are you watching this week?
Well, I wasn't part of it yesterday, but Trey and KD watched Hoosiers.
Did you see it?
And I did watch it. I did watch it on Wednesday.
Well, I will say this as a programming note that in the noon o'clock hour yesterday, Trey and Kevin had Angelo Pizzo on. Who wrote
Pizzo,
Hoosiers.
Yeah, he's always a good
and
interview.
You and I have spoken to him. He also wrote and directed Everyone's All Amer- or My All American, the mm-hmm. Freddie Steinmark story here, and came to Austin and made that film. But Hoosiers is an all-time classic, maybe the greatest sports movie ever made. And that was a really compelling conversation. I was listening to that yesterday, talking about because he's from the state of Indiana, Angelo Pizzo. So he grew up around Indiana basketball, went to IU, or actually went to USC, but grew up loving Indiana. Just told some really cool stories about that film. And Hoosiers is, for most sports fans, an all-time classic, and it's one that the Buck has not seen, which is still...
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous on my part. I've not seen it.
Yeah, you got to see it, Buck. It's really good.
It's really, really good. And, you know, he told the stories of, you know, he you know, what makes a good film is conflict, right? You can't just have everybody happy. And he said when he was interviewing, because there are still players alive, because that actually did happen. A small town school in Indiana did win the Indiana State title.
Sure.
Back in the 50s. It would be the equivalent of a 1A school in Texas beating a 6A school today, which is just ridiculous. A great underdog story. And it actually happened. But he took a lot of liberties because he got out there and tried to interview these folks, and they all loved each other. There was no conflict. There was one guy used to show up late and you have to run laps. But so he had to create some.
Of course, you have to create something in the movie.
But it was interesting to hear where that came from. And was nominated for a couple of Academy Awards, and he told the story that he and the director, who were both huge Indiana basketball fans, they skipped the Academy Awards because it was the night of the national championship game when Indiana took down Keith Smart. Keith Smart took down Syracuse. That they had to be there, and that Bob Knight read that in the paper the next day, that because obviously the front page of the paper was Indiana just won the national championship.
Yep.
But there was a little sub story that, you know, Angelo Pizzo, the creator of Hoosiers, skipped the Academy Awards so that they could watch the game, and Bob Knight said, no, I got to meet those guys. Now, those are real hardcore fans. But it was a cool interview at noon yesterday. And remember, we always tell you that every hour of our local shows, podcast at hornfm.com, everything from 6 a.m. until Chad and Kevin wrap it up at 7, podcast at our website. So you can always go listen to that in any interview you miss here on the
Horn. It's cool going back to watching those movies. And it made me think, you know, after I watched The Shining the other day and getting back to films that I've never seen before and watching The Shining and being at movie theaters, I was trying to think about what is my favorite go-to candy when I go to a movie theater, because you can't get them all because you'll get sick or but besides popcorn, I was trying to figure what was my favorite go-to candy. Now, my favorite go-to now is Twizzlers.
Well, I can take
a whole bag of Twizzlers and eat them during the course of a movie. But my old go-to was Milk Duds.
Blah.
What do you mean? You don't like Milk Duds?
No.
Did the caramel stick in your teeth or something?
Milk Duds.
Yeah, like Milk Duds. What, are they like little rabbit turds or something?
Yes,
is that what you're trying to say?
They do.
But they're delicious. It's a movie treat.
No, I'm not a Milk Dud guy.
You had to have a favorite.
Gummy bears.
Gummy?
Or gummy. I love the gummies and also love Sprees. Those little hard candy Sprees. They call them the little discs.
Never had them. Never. Sprees?
Yeah, they're called Sprees. You know, some people love.
Had a spree
some
before.
People like the sweet tarts. My wife loves the sweet tarts
at a theater. When you go out,
I don't usually eat a lot of candy anyway. You know that.
I know, but sprees.
Hey, you used to smuggle them in.
Of course, yeah. I mean,
you don't buy them from the movie theater.
You buy them right now. You go into a movie theater and you get the popcorn and whatever. It's $26 or something.
All right, we'll reset the NBA draft coming up. Hot or not, BK leads us through that. Nine of the 10 picks were true freshmen or were one and done players. And the other guy, the 10th, was a kid out of France. He's only 18
years old. He was
younger
than them.
So very young. BK, what was your overall opinion of Hoosiers upon first watch, even 30 years later?
Big fan. You said it right there. I mean, a great underdog story, a lot of good, interesting subplots. But, I loved that at the beginning of the movie. One of the players wasn't following Coach Dale's guidelines, right? He didn't do the four passes before a shot, so he benched him. And one of the other players fouled out. They only had six on the team. One of the other players fouled out. So the guy was getting ready to go back in, and coach was like, no, you're not going back in. This is my team. We're playing with four.
So my team is on the floor.
Yeah, my team is on the floor. So we kind of laid down the law.
Oh, hard ass.
It's his way, baby. And it worked out.
Hey.
Who was that, Joey Chipwood?
Do your job. No, Jimmy
Chipwood. Joey Chipwood.
Jimmy Chipwood.
That was before Jimmy was on the team.
Gosh, I'm going to have to look this up because Angelo Pizzo said yesterday that there was a player. His name wasn't Jimmy Chipwood, but there was a star player on that team that went on to play at Butler, went on to play professional basketball back in the 50s. So pretty cool stories. If you love Hoosiers, you'll love that conversation with Angelo yesterday with Trey and BK. But it was Trey and Kevin yesterday because BK's got, what do you think he got? Just a little bug?
I don't know, man. I got something. I haven't eaten fast food in like 3 weeks. I think that's part of it. I got to get back.
You're trying to get healthy?
Trying to get healthy. Yeah, I just ate one of these 3 days old Rudy's tacos.
Oh, you did not. The one that was in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Rudy's brings tacos on Wednesday for us.
Yeah. You can't eat that stuff.
My throat hurts, man. Like, having drinking and eating food, it helps, you know?
That stuff got dairy products. You can't stuff that just sits around.
Yeah, bean and cheese. It's not good.
Oh, it's one of those bean and cheesers?
Yeah.
Oh, you can eat those anytime.
That's fine.
Cowboys eat those anytime.
I ate the pigs in the blankie yesterday.
It says, Bucky, Milk Duds do not have any caramel. You thinking of sugar babies?
I had sugar babies as a kid. I used to eat sugar babies all the time.
You don't like gummy bears?
And sugar daddies. I used to eat sugar daddies, too. I used to eat the caramel and the sugar daddies.
Yeah, Milk Duds does have caramel. It's chocolate with caramel on the
Thank
inside.
You.
That's what the guy said. I don't know. I've never had
that.
What
the hell is he talking about? I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm picturing eating Milk Duds and getting that stuff caught in my teeth now. It has caramel in it.
What about the cut the hole in the bottom of the popcorn box?
We don't do that anymore. That stopped in the 60s. People quit doing those kind of
games.
That
was back when you were up in the rafters.
Yeah, when you had to go to the rafters.
Up in the balcony.
Sir,
what was going on in that balcony with the popcorn bottle?
I was on up in the balcony. By the way, you can't sit down here, sir. You'll have to go upstairs. I just remember trying to get that because I was always the black kid in North Carolina in Greensboro trying to get down to the lower balcony seat. And it'd be the usher that would say, son.
You and your Milk Duds need to hike it up the steps.
You need to go up there with the other little brothers up there. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm going down here. There's no reason. I can see better down here. You'll be best suited to be upstairs with the other Negroes, please.
You're like Rosa Parks before Rosa Parks, man. You should have just sat down.
I tried all that stuff. Tried to go in all white bathrooms. I was kind of thinking, what's going to happen? Besides getting your ass beat, that's about it.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen? I mean,
yes, there's things that happen,
horrible things with dogs and
Oh, yeah, dogs ropes. And ropes and fire hoses and things like that.
Yeah,
it was mass beatings, yes. Things like that happened back in the day.
It says, whoever is saying Milk Duds does not have caramel is wrong. They were thinking of Whoppers.
Oh, I hated those.
You guys should try Nicki Minaj's Milk Duds. Okay, perfect. Welcome to Friday.
Oh boy.
Hey, Ari Temkin, ESPN San Antonio, joins us in the next hour to talk about the Spurs draft pick and are they going to trade LaMarcus Aldridge and maybe Danny Green in the coming days.
And maybe we'll get Dave Pelz today. Maybe we'll give him a shot.
Yeah, we'll hope to talk to Dave Pelz, the short game guru, who we misconnected yesterday. We'll try to get with him today. It's B&E on the Horn. 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
Yeah, hot and not. B&E with you. VK will lead us through that. Ari Temkin, ESPN San Antonio, talks NBA draft with us after the top of the hour. We'll reset the draft if you missed any part, how it all went down last night. We'll get you details, including that blockbuster trade with Jimmy Butler going to Minnesota. Also hot, you know, our sister station over at Coke FM is bringing Coke Fest 2017 to Hutto, and you can be a part of it. Ticket sales are going great. It's Robert Earl Keen, Turnpike Troubadours, Jason Bolin and the Stragglers, and several other great artists. It's August the 19th. It's at the Gin at the Co-op right there off Highway 79. You can go to cokefm.com or hornfm.com for all the details and get your tickets. And, you know, we had Tom Gimbel in here yesterday, live music update every Thursday.
Yes, sir.
With the GM of the Austin City Limits television show. And he mentioned that, Jason Isbell's new album just came out last year. It's going to be like number one on the charts when the rankings come out. He's doing 3 shows at ACL. In July.
You said I got to go see that, huh?
Oh, you'll love him. He is, Jason Isbell's coming with his band for 3 shows, and Tom gave me the little indication that maybe Jason might tape the show while he's here.
Ooh.
Maybe. And he also let us know that Chris Stapleton's going to be taping ACL Fest this year.
That is awesome.
They're trying to finalize the Zach Brown Band.
Awesome.
Potentially. So,
good stuff.
That'll be cool. Good music weekend. We always post Tom's picks to our website. At hornfm.com.
Well, my old ass yesterday got myself all lined up with my Bob Seger tickets.
You got Bob Seger?
Yes. And the Silver Bullet Band.
I still can't believe you didn't make it out to the Chicago Doobie Brothers show
last
weekend.
I'm telling you, I'm not an outdoor guy. I'm not.
You like their air conditioning?
Hell yeah, I like the air conditioning. I can't stand, like, ACL, as much as I love the festival outside, I can't do it. I can't be out there in that. That's what happens to old people. If I don't have a lawn chair, I can't deal because I can't stand up that long doing all that. You know where everybody stands by their flag and all that stuff?
You need refrigerated air.
I think the last stand-up I did was Lionel Richie.
Nice, nice.
Easiest Sunday morning when the hippie girl was kissing me and stuff.
You,
she
yeah.
kissed me and we looked at each other and like we didn't even know each other and kind of...
Had a little moment.
I had a moment. I shared a moment with a hippie down there by Town Lake.
Well,
this is a special moment.
Download
easiest
that
Sunday morning.
New Jason Isbell record. It's called The Nashville Sound. It's terrific. And 3 shows at ACL in July. Highly recommend that. And then, yeah, we'll keep you posted on all the all the comings and goings, because this is the live music capital of the world, for crying out loud. All right, BK, what do you have for Hot or Not, my friend?
Bob Saget tickets. Interesting.
Not Bob Saget. No, it's not Bob Saget.
Going to see America's Funniest Home Videos Full House.
Bob Seger, man.
Come on, dude.
Just messing with you. All right, guys, NBA draft last night. Let's start with the lone Longhorn taken yesterday. Jared Allen, pick number 22 overall to the Brooklyn Nets. Now, the Brooklyn Nets, the worst team in the NBA last year. Doesn't look like their future is very bright, but potential PT early on for Jared Allen. Hot or not, a good fit, Jared Allen to the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, I don't know if anyone's a good fit in Brooklyn. I'll say what I said earlier. It's almost like going to the D League, because he's going to get to play a lot, but he gets a big league check, and he gets to live in Brooklyn, I think, in New York City. That'll be cool for a young guy who's
an eclectic kind of dude.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I think he'll like living in Brooklyn and embrace that. But Brooklyn's terrible. I mean, how many games did he win last year? 10, 12, something like that?
And expectations will be, without Lopez, he'll be playing.
Yeah, Brook Lopez just got traded.
So he gets a chance to play, hang out in New York City. No expectations of him doing anything.
He'll probably get humbled. It's going to be about how you handle getting dominated at some level, because he's not ready for that league on a night-in, night-out basis. Now, and their D'Angelo Russell's there now. I mean, they're rebuilding. And as BK said, they've already traded away next year's number one pick. They've gutted their franchise in an effort to win that championship. When they tried to get Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and make a run at it and open that new arena, it's obviously set that franchise back a decade. But he's in the NBA. He's a top first-round pick. And, again, it's like going to a D-League roster where you're going to get to compete and play, and you get paid the first-round money. But for me, I don't know, maybe a better fit might have been a Spurs-type team that would have – he could have played in the D League and gotten that first round check and developed.
Oh no, he's got to play now where he is.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a good thing. Let's hope. I'd cross your fingers. Can we hear Seth Davis, his breakdown of Jared Allen from the national perspective? We got to see him for one year here in Austin.
He definitely has a lot of potential. I mean, you want to talk about upside. Jared Allen has a lot of upside. When he played well for Texas this year, he played really well. And as the season went on, he got better. That's encouraging for me. Look at his numbers. They're not going to blow you away. He had 13-8, 57% from the floor you like. I don't like 4.5 free throw attempts per game as a 7-footer who got a lot of time, 32 minutes a game. So, his motor is a question. How much does he love the game is a question. All those things are in question. But, like I say, when he played well, he played really well. And so, to me, to get him at this part of the draft, that's a on all these mocks, I had him going a little bit higher than this. I think this is a very good pick for the Nets.
All right, so there you go. Seth Davis with a little rundown. So he's hot on it, and we agree. It's a good landing spot for a young guy. What do you think, BK? What's next?
All right, guys, I'll ask you for a winner first and then a loser of the NBA draft. A winner last night, some people think maybe the Timberwolves by getting Jimmy Butler. Some people think, it was the 76ers making that move up to get Markelle Fultz. Malik Monk falling to 11 to Charlotte. Some people like that pick a lot. A winner in the NBA draft, in y'all's opinion, from last night.
Timberwolves.
For sure.
You take a young team that's got the likes of Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns and, Ricky Rubio running the point, and you add a player like Jimmy Butler, who's a seasoned veteran. He's been through the Team USA situation. He brings leadership. He brings defense. He brings toughness. He's played for Tom Thibodeau before. That was a great get, and they didn't give up any of their significant assets. I mean, you could argue, or the number would say they gave up three lottery picks, because they gave up last year's number 5 pick, the point guard. They gave up the high flyer Zach LaVine. They gave up this year's number 7 pick, but none of their core. So you can plug Jimmy Butler in. Most people around the league thinks that the T-Wolves fleece the Bulls in this to get a top 12 type player in the NBA. And loser for me is Danny Ainge, because he didn't pull the trigger to acquire a top 12 player in the NBA, and now he's got another 18-year-old, which doesn't help them this year.
I like Monk going to Charlotte. I've liked him all year.
Yeah, Malik Monk's a good player.
But is that where Howard ended up going?
Dwight Howard.
I hate that part for Monk.
Yeah,
to
Michael,
deal with that
Michael
baby.
Jordan come to be the latest to try to have Dwight Howard grow up a little bit.
Is it just that he's a big guy and people just like a big guy? Because he doesn't have any of the talents he used to have. I understand that. A lot of people understand it. But why does he keep just getting picked up by people? What does he really do now?
Big Dwight Howard.
What has he really done lately? What has he done?
Been traded several times.
Yeah.
He's now a journeyman.
And I still think the Celtics lost out on the deal last night.
I do too. I'll also give a loser to Gar Foreman. He's the general manager of the Bulls, who made that trade with Jimmy Butler last night.
Oh, boy.
After which, a guy named Travell Gaines, who was Jimmy Butler's trainer, tweeted, 0-82, worst culture in the league. I met drug dealers with better morals than their GM. He's a liar, and everyone knows it.
Man.
Tell us what you really think about Gar Hurd and the Bulls organization. Yikes. All right, we'll come back. B&E on the horn. We roll through. Ari Temkin will jump on from San Antonio, his review of the Spurs night, and what's to come for San Antonio, plus a full rundown of the draft itself. It's all coming. B&E on the horn, 104.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.